One from Fresno County, another one from Marin County. We're going to begin with our first speaker, which is Tom C. from Fresno County with 22 years. Please come on up.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, no pressure. I'm Tom, and I'm an addict. I want to welcome anybody that's new to the program and let you know that we want you here, we need you here, and we care about you, if you don't know that already. If you're coming back to NA after using, double welcome to you. Don't let the disease cheat you out of your seat here, and make no mistake, the door doesn't always swing both ways. That's kind of my mantra. I say that every time I share, whether I'm at a meeting, workshop, convention. The people in my area in Oregon where I got clean kind of roll their eyes, some of them, when I say it, and sometimes I feel like I'm tired of hearing it myself sometimes, but I say it every time because it's in my heart. You know, it's what I believe with everything in me, because the people in Narcotics Anonymous, when I got here, cared about me. There was a fellow, some of you probably know him, his name's Jack W., Jack White. And Jack used to say that. He lived in Medford for a while. And Jack used to say it. I kind of added some things to it. But Jack used to get up there and say, you know, we want you here, we need you here, and we care about you. And so it was like when I first got here, I didn't feel very wanted. I definitely didn't feel needed. I definitely didn't feel like I fit in. So it was refreshing, you know, for me to hear that. Let's see. Before I start, I want to thank you guys for having me up here. I really appreciate it. A special thanks to Bobby D., who invited me or recommended me or had enough faith in me that thought that I could carry a clear message in Narcotics Anonymous. And he couldn't be here. Great man, great guy, old school NA with a lot of love in his heart. Most of you guys know Bobby D., and he's a man. He's got a lot of love. He loves this program. When Bobby called me, when he first called me, I wasn't sure, you know, if I was going to be able to come down here, you know, this long drive, this 30-minute drive. Mostly because this was a playoff weekend, and I kind of like football. My team's not in it, so it was no big deal. But when he told me, this is honest God's truth, when he told me that you guys, this group that was putting on this fundraiser for the convention, for the Central California Convention, is that what it is?
Mid-State, California.
I'm sorry, man. I get confused because there's so many areas and regions and stuff. But when he told me that the name of the group was the Friends of Jimmy K. Men's Stag, like, I couldn't say no, man. I couldn't say no. We back up a little bit, because I'm kind of a Jimmy K groupie. If he was still alive, I'd be a Jimmy K groupie. I have some history with my lineage that goes like directly to Jimmy K. And Jimmy used to say, you know, all the time, don't put me up on a pedestal. Don't put anybody on a pedestal in Narcotics Anonymous. We're all the same. But you know what? I got a lot of respect and admiration and love for the dedication and enthusiasm and work that he did here in Narcotics Anonymous to get this deal going. Here we are, 64 years later, 64 years, and we're worldwide. He had a vision, you know, and it was so huge in one sense, but it was also so simple that an addict would have a place to go where there were other addicts that were trying to stay clean. And we could all somehow stay clean together, something that we could never do alone. So I have a lot of respect for that. You know, I was saying about my lineage. So I used to kind of hold it, wear it on my sleeve like some kind of badge of honor that my sponsor is Hans D. His sponsor is Tony D. And Tony's sponsor is Chuck Gates. And Chuck Gates used to be sponsored by Jimmy K. So here I am, got clean, you know, in 1995. And somehow I managed to get like four people between me and Jimmy K in my lineage. And I thought that was, God, I was so proud of that. Turns out that we're all connected to Jimmy K. Right? So it wasn't really that big of a deal, because this thing started down there. And we've grown. And we've only grown because of that dedication and hard work that's still happening here in Narcotics Anonymous. So if I have any kind of message here to share with you tonight, here's one of the things I want to start with. There are people, if you're new, welcome, man. I'm so glad that you guys had the courage to stand up for, you know, 2 days, 14 days, 12 days, whatever it was. But there are people here that live and die doing this deal so that you could have a chance at staying clean and not having to go back to that life of misery and despair. And they're among you right now. They're all here. I know some of these guys. I was real nervous when I got here, but I ran into some folks that I know. I ran into Mike and Ray and Louie and Chris. And so these are, if you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, grab onto somebody. Some folks say, you know, if you don't have the best sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous, go find them or whatever. That's not what I say. I say grab onto somebody, anybody. If they don't work out, you can find another one, that's for sure. I've had several sponsors in Narcotics Anonymous before I got with Hans. I've been with Hans now for about 15, 16 years. I don't really know. But I do know that if somebody has the best sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous, then there can only be one, right? So we're kind of screwed, right? Anyways, I don't want to get off on that rant. I also wanted to talk a little bit about today's meditation. And today's meditation says, help for the addict is only available after we admit complete defeat. Complete defeat. That's a pretty strong sentence. Very strong statement. Now, my problem, because I started to try to get clean back in the early 90s, I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in July of 1992. My clean date is February the 27th of 1995. So in between there, I was bouncing in and out. I was going in and out of jail. I was bouncing in and out of the rooms. I put a few days together and go back out. I'd come to the meetings loaded and leave and come back and go out and get loaded, come early, leave late, all the things that we did. And I was defeated, but I couldn't admit complete defeat. I couldn't, like, do this deal like you guys before me were doing it. Like, I thought that was so lame. I couldn't surrender. They kept telling me, you know, surrender is the key. Some of you guys might know Billy Michaels over there in Ventura. And Billy always says, if you don't surrender to this shit, you ain't going nowhere. And I found that to be true, but I found surrender for me was so difficult because I kept hearing in here all these ideas about surrender. Surrender to the program. Surrender to the steps. Surrender to your higher power. Surrender to your sponsor. So one of the problems that I had, maybe some of you guys could relate, is I was very rebellious and very resistant. Like, if you told me something to do, I didn't like being told what to do, and I would do the exact opposite. Like, I wasn't going to come here every day. That was lame. Like, 90 meetings in 90 days? So luckily, later on down the road, I found the guy that showed me the literature. There was a lot of people in here that would say, you got to do this and you got to do that. If you don't do this, you're going to get loaded. If you do this, you're going to get loaded. There was all kinds of formulas that led to me getting loaded. But there was a couple of people. There was one guy in particular. And John used to say, I don't know what it's going to take for you to stay clean. I don't even know if you're an addict. But if you decide you're an addict, I'll tell you what I did, and maybe that'll help you. Now, I latched on to that dude. I was a terrible addict. Hope to die addict, whatever you want to call it. We have all these names and things. But when it came to surrender, I heard a guy say one time, you know, why don't you try surrendering to the disease, because that's what's kicking your ass. And like a light bulb went on, I finally saw it. I finally saw that this thing was so much bigger than me that I had zero power, that I could not beat it all by myself. So when you come in here, when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I came in here like a beaten, just like it says in the readings. But I couldn't latch on to the. I couldn't latch on to that. I went to a lot of meetings. I came in and out a lot. And when I finally made that decision that, okay, and that same guy used to tell me, he said, well, here, maybe this, is this good enough for you? And he points me to our literature. And our literature, it says, doesn't say anything about you have to, or you're going to get loaded if you don't, or any of that. Real simply, what it says about 90-90 is a meeting a day for the first 90 days is a good idea. That's all it says. That's a pretty strong statement, and I could kind of go with that, because that wasn't somebody telling me what I had to do like that. And so when it came to surrender, and when it came to being defeated, I don't know about what that looks like to you guys, but there's another reading that we do called, and you mentioned it when you read that paper about Jimmy K, is We Do Recover. We Do Recover talks about the end of the road. So when I think about complete defeat, I think about the end of the road. And I don't know about you, but at the end of the road for me, I had nothing. I had zero life. I had no money. When I think about the end of the road, I think about me walking around town in the cold, in the rain, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, with no place to go, no money, no car, no license, no drugs, no nothing. You know, I used to go, like, I never lived under bridges or anything, but I spent a lot of time under there when I didn't have no place to go. Where I grew up in Chicago, there was a lot of tunnels. And I used to just find a tunnel somewhere to hide under there when it was cold and wet and snowing and freezing. Didn't have nowhere to go. Didn't have no drugs. I don't know, you know. I think about all those things. I think about going to the Connections house and sitting there for days, like waiting for somebody to come in and get some drugs, and so maybe I would get a little taste or something like that. But I didn't have no place to go, so I couldn't leave, because once I left, they wouldn't take me back. I don't know about you guys, but my connections, the longest lasting connection I would have would be about 6 months, and I would wear them out. They wouldn't want me back after that. Because either I burned them or they burned me or something happened. So when I think about the end of the road and I think about those days, staying clean one day at a time seems like a pretty easy deal for me. And I started stacking some days together. I started going to meetings every day, like they said. I started to, back then, I wanted to be somebody in Narcotics Anonymous. So I would get to the meeting early, and I'd grab How It Works. And then there was this little gal called Patty Shortcakes. And Patty liked reading How It Worked, too. And so Patty, her and I were in this competition. Who could get there earlier and get that reading? Pretty soon, we're like showing up the meeting 45 minutes early. But it was just one of those things that today I know in my heart that everything happened the way it was supposed to happen for me to be standing here right now. And it went on like that. So Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. It was the same thing with the steps. I don't know about everybody else, but I did like this 1-2-3 shuffle. I said I had many sponsors. My very first sponsor, his name was Tony. He was a little short black guy, and he took a shine to me. Like, he knew that I didn't want to hug nobody. I didn't want to talk to nobody. But Tony, he knew that I needed somebody. And he talked to me, and eventually he sponsored me. And I don't know what happened to Tony. He just, like, disappeared one day. And I went on to another sponsor. But what happened was I was doing like this 1-2-3 shuffle. I can remember I got clean at the VA. And I went to long-term treatment. I was there for about 16 months. And we had a requirement of going to meetings, 3 meetings a week while we were there. There was a lot of things, you know, that we had to do. But so at this time, you know, I latched on to Tony, and Tony helped me out. Tony, I'll tell you what Tony did. Tony, when I first asked him to sponsor me, he says, yeah, I'll sponsor you. And he gave me a quarter. Back then, you could use a quarter in the telephone. He says, I want you to put this in your wallet and don't use it for nothing else. If you want to get loaded, I want you to use that quarter and call me. And he gave me a little piece of paper. And the paper said the 3 rules. And the 3 rules were, don't sweat the small stuff was rule number 1. Rule number 2 was, it's all small stuff. And rule number 3 was, if you got any questions, go back to rule number 1. And I, you know, it took me a long time, like years, to really understand what that really meant. Like, sometimes when I go to a meeting and I think that I'm having a bad day, or I'm having problems at work, or, you know, my car broke down, or whatever, man, and I get to the meeting and I hear some people come in there with some real problems. Their mother has cancer. Their kids got taken away. You know, stuff like that. My stuff seems pretty minimal when I go there. And I go, oh, you know, I got it pretty good. I got it pretty good. I developed, you know, a life in Narcotics Anonymous. I live this program to the best of my ability. I did, like I was saying, I did that 1-2-3 shuffle for a while. And I can tell you that when you talk about surrender, and I couldn't get my mind around surrender because I thought it meant to lose. I thought it meant I was weak, because I grew up, you know, around people that men were strong and they didn't show their feelings and they didn't ask for help and they didn't show weakness. And I lived by that, even in Narcotics Anonymous for a long time, until, you know, wasn't my second sponsor, it was my third sponsor. He was a guy that did a great deal of time of his adult life in prison up in Oregon. But when I showed up in Narcotics Anonymous, I couldn't recognize that. I could spot a convict a mile away. I've been in and out of jail all my life. I grew up in institutions. I started going away when I was 12. I'm not some hardcore convict that did a lot of time in prison. I did 1 year in the state penitentiary in Vandalia, Illinois. But I've been in and out of county jail for the whole rest of my addiction, like most of the time, half the time in and half the time out. But what I had was the mentality of a convict. That's what I was. I was hard. I was hardened outside. I was hardened by the disease of addiction. You know, my upbringing, you know, didn't help much, but I don't blame nothing on that. You know, I believe I was born an addict. I know in my heart I was born an addict. I started telling lies when I didn't even need the lie. I started stealing. I can remember stealing a pack of cigarettes when I didn't even smoke. I just took them because I knew I could get away with it. So I learned firsthand, you know, I better not go there. Because I want to talk about the steps. I want to talk about how when I worked the first step thoroughly for the first time, because I did that 1-2-3 shuffle, chain sponsors, 1-2-3 chain sponsors, 1-2-3 sponsor gets loaded. Everything happened. I got at, I want to get this right now. I believe it was 9 months. I was 9 months clean, and I went to a convention with my sponsor and his partner, this guy Mike that I was talking about, up in Portland, Oregon. It was the Pacific Northwest Convention. It was my second convention because I'd been to Miracle in the Mountains. And we found my sponsor, Me and this Johnny Michaels guy went to a little meeting, you know, a little workshop, came back up to the room. There's Dave laying on the floor in the bathroom, OD'd, with a rig hanging out of his arm at a Narcotics Anonymous convention. So you can't make this shit up, man. People at the convention were like asking me, they heard, you know, that I was a sponsee, and they're like, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm fine, man. He's the one that's laying on the floor. Right? But I learned something that day. Because Johnny, the other guy, he says, I need you to help me, and I need you to be with me when I do this. And he got the rig, and he got the dope, and he flushed it down the toilet. And you know, all these people ask me if I'm okay. Here's what I learned about that. Just because he got loaded didn't mean that I had to. It was a tragedy. He never did really fully make it back. He came in and out for a while, but he never made it back. So anyways, I go on and I start working the steps. I worked the first step in Narcotics Anonymous probably for the first time thoroughly in my life. And what I discovered, because for me, I was always the victim. It was the world was the enemy. It was the cops, the lawyers, the judges, the guards. It was everybody's fault. I got caught up in the system. You know, they had a tail on me. They wouldn't leave me alone. I was always in trouble. Every time they saw me, they shook me down. And it was them. But after working the first step, I discovered it was me all along. See, I couldn't put it together because I was a slick addict. Until the end of my addictions, I never got caught with drugs. I always somehow seemed to get rid of them or get away, or most of the time I used them before they arrested me. But so I never put two and two together that the drugs were the problem until I worked the first step. And I realized for the first time in my life that every single time, now I've been arrested over 100 times. I'm not even exaggerating. I don't know what the number is beyond 100, but I know it's 100 because one of my buddies looked it up. His girlfriend got a part-time temporary job at the cop shop. He thought, just for a fun bit, let's look up Tom's record. So they did. But so I finally put it together that each and every time I got arrested, I was either loaded or I was doing something to get loaded. That's how I put it together. And so, if you move on and go beyond that, later on in my third, fourth round around through the steps, I discovered that drugs are just a symptom of the disease. That every time that I was trying to fill a void, that the drugs are what I did to feed the monster. That the drugs weren't the problem. That the disease of addiction was about wanting something for nothing, wanting a free ride, not wanting to face up to my feelings, and not wanting to face up to my fears. It's a fear-based disease. Everything I ever did had something to do with me scared of not wanting, not getting my needs met. I grew up in a house, 8 kids in the family, west side of Chicago, Irish Catholic. Nobody ever said I loved you in that house. And I don't have to hold that against nobody. It was just the way it was. But so when it came time for me to go through these steps and figure out, you know, what was going on with me, the thing that became really clear to me was that it didn't have to be like that. Like, I didn't have to carry around all that fear. I didn't have to do none of those things that got me to where I was at. I found out that in Narcotics Anonymous I could have a good life. I got a good job. I got a family. One of the biggest things for me when I got clean, I still had a chance with 2 of my kids. I got 6 kids, and some of them were already grown up, but I had 2, and some of them were in a different, I was on my second family. But I had 2 that when I got clean this time, they were 9 and 12. You know, it's funny because I was talking with Kimberlyn, and my daughter, she's a teacher, and my daughter's a teacher. Well, at the time that I got clean, my daughter was had just turned 12. She was into softball, and she liked playing softball. And she couldn't stand me. She hated me. She would tell me, "I hate you." My son was 9, and he would look me in the eye and say, "Will you please, when are you going to stop? Will you please stop?" My son, I would be in the bathroom, and the kids would be outside the bathroom door knocking on the door, or they'd go and ask their mom, "What's he doing in there?" And their mom, she didn't hold back either. She said, "He's in there killing himself." But so I get clean. These kids are still in their formative years. They have really nothing for me at that time because I had wore them out with my addiction, with my going in and out of jail. My son is a musician today, and he started playing way back then. But anyways, I learned how to be a dad, and I let them show me what they needed from a dad. That little girl that was playing softball, like, I used to go to the games before I got clean, and it was a totally different guy that went to the games after I got clean. You know, I learned that from the people in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I didn't go to any parenting classes. I got separated when I got clean. My wife left me, and after I got out of the VA, I got half custody with my kids. So their mom worked. I got lucky, man. Their mom worked swing shift. So they have to get out of school and come to my house in the afternoons. And they'd have to be there until 11, 12 o'clock at night when she got off of work. So basically I was a single dad. And they grew up in Narcotics Anonymous and they came to meetings with me. So I don't know where I was going with that, but the bottom line was that I reconnected with them kids on a level. I saw people in Narcotics Anonymous that were parents. My kids were running crazy in the rooms when I first got clean, bouncing off the walls, in and out of the door. Women in the program tell me, "Tom, you gotta do something with those kids." And this is another thing that I love about Narcotics Anonymous. It's like, our kids are here, man. Our kids are here. Nobody tells me. I don't tell nobody, you know, take your kid out of the room. The closest I ever came to getting a physical fist fight in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous was when a guy told this girl, "Get that kid out of here." And it struck me right in the heart bad, man. But anyways, there was people. Like, they didn't tell me this is what you got to do, but I watched them. There was this one guy, his name was Mark S. Mark S. had 3 kids, and I admired the way that he was a dad. I just watched him. He just loved those kids. He never told them they were bad. He never told them they were wrong. He never yelled at them. He never raised his voice. He just loved them. He never told them they were stupid. He didn't do any of those things that happened to me when I was growing up. And I admired that. You know, one of the worst things, I think some of the most damage that got to me in my psyche, because my dad used to tell me, "You are zero. You'll never amount to anything. All you understand is this." And so I never saw him raise his hand to his kids. I never saw him tell them they were stupid or bad or dumb. I just saw him love them. Like, he loved them through everything. And I said, "I want to be a dad like that, man. I want to be a dad like that." And all I had to do was do what he did. And I did. I went through a lot of trials and tribulations. But I discovered at 18 months clean that the most important job in my life was going to be a dad. That I could be a guy that they looked up to and loved and respected as a man. See, I didn't know what a man was. My idea of a man was totally twisted. I used to think a man was how tough you were and how much hustle you had. And I found out that has nothing to do with being a man. I found out that being a man was being able to stand up for what you're believing, but also be strong and gentle. NA taught me how to connect with other human beings without, you know, having to raise my voice or raise my hands. And it really taught me that about my kids. Those kids today, you know, I keep forgetting where I was going with my daughter in the softball. She played softball all the way through high school and college. Oh, I remember what it is now. So, and I supported her, man. She was a pitcher. I was trying to tell Kimberlyn before because at some point in high school, she decided she was going to be vegan. She's very health conscious. But she was a pitcher and she needed the protein to perform. And she realized that at some point. She went back to eating meat. But anyways, so I used to warm her up. I used to catch for her. Well, I don't know if you guys know anything about fast pitch softball. Them girls throw the ball 60 miles an hour. And there just came a time when she got so good I couldn't warm her up anymore because I didn't have the gear. You know, you're hitting the head, hitting the arm. And she was learning how to put some stuff on the ball. And, so I had to stop doing that. But one of the things that guy taught me was show up. One of the things that I learned in Narcotics Anonymous was integrity was doing what you say you're going to do when you're going to say you do it. Every time. Not sometimes. Every time. If I said I was going to be there, I was there. I started going to all the school functions. I started going to the all the games, all the concerts. My kids had a role reversal going on. My son was in the school band. He's a musician. My daughter played softball. And I showed up every time for all that stuff. So when it came time to her being in college, she's a junior in college. She's playing. She's pitching for Southern Oregon University. And they travel all over. Well, she wants to be a school teacher. And she wants A's. She doesn't want C's. She wants A's. And she decides, because when I say I was at every game, I was at every game. No matter what it took. If I had to go to work early and get off early just to be there, I would be there. I was her biggest fan. And I learned how to be a fan of support, not of criticism. I didn't criticize not even the other team. It's all about good job. It's all about that, you know, what I learned here in Narcotics Anonymous. But so I don't remember if I went to the game or if I just called her and says, you know, what time's the game? And for the first time in her life, she told me, well, I'm not going. I said, what's going on? We were face to face. I don't know the real details of how I learned, you know, that she wasn't playing that day, but she never missed a game. And she started crying. She says, I quit the team because I couldn't keep my grades up being on the road all the time. And I didn't want to tell you because I thought you would be disappointed. Well, here's what NA taught me. And, you know, like a lot of things, I could tell you many times, you know, that I had interactions with these kids where something like this came up. And I said to her, honey, I don't want you to live the life of my dreams. I want you to live the life of your dreams. And I don't know where that came, man. I don't know where that came from. I didn't have that, you know, in my head in the bank waiting to tell her that. But it was in my heart. And what Narcotics Anonymous gave me was a clean heart. What Narcotics Anonymous gave me was love in my heart. I got love in my heart today for all you, for her, for the program. You know, I was saying, you know, sometimes we say, well, I love Narcotics Anonymous. Well, I do love Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes I try to call my sponsor before I came in here about a half hour ago or something. Because I always call them before I speak. I'm not some great speaker. I'm not some charismatic, you know, powerful speaker or nothing like that. Once in a while I'll break one off, but I'm not, man. But I live this program to the best of my ability. I love this program. I work the steps. I sponsor guys. I'm not the greatest sponsor in the world. When somebody asks me to sponsor them, I have them call me every day for 30 days, and in the course of those 30 days, I tell them, this, you know, what about me? And look, if you're looking for a buddy, somebody to hang out with, if you're looking for somebody to take you out to meetings all the time or go to dinner, I'm not that guy. But if you want to work the steps, I'm your fucking guy. And I make sure that if somebody does the work that I ask them to do and calls me, say, I got one right now. He lives in Bakersfield. I got step one done. I said, show up over in Tulare on Saturday night and we'll go over your step. But anyways, I learned that right here, man. I truly do love this deal. I truly do love working the steps. I know that my heart was changed by Narcotics Anonymous. I do love this program. There's a line in our book that says, are you giving me the signal? Okay. See, I start out a little slow, but once I get going, you got to stop me, man. There's a line in our book that says, we have never seen an addict who lives the Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. Now, the first time I heard that, I thought, nobody could live up to that. That is a really strong statement. What does that mean, to live the Narcotics Anonymous program? Do I got to wake up reading the basic text, praying, working the steps, read literature all day, go to a meeting every night? It doesn't mean any of that. When I live this program, it just means that I do the formula, man. Go to meetings, get a sponsor, work the steps, and be of service. And I do that. I got a little panel that I do out in Chowchilla. We just got back in that prison. I got a panel that I do out in Chowchilla. I'm out of time, so I'm not going to, you know, go through all that in my like service resume or anything like that. But when these guys ask me to sponsor them, I tell them the steps are the program. When I say that we never saw an addict relapse who lives this program, all it really means is if I think about getting loaded, I got to remember that I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous and I don't use. No matter what. There's been a lot of no matter what's in 22 years. If you stay here long enough, people talk about we all get our turn of terrible things happening in our life. Ask Kimberlyn, ask anybody else, this guy that got up for 30-some years, we get a bunch of turns. And we learn how to not pick up no matter what. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much.